This program is part of the Cosmic Potato Podcast Network. For more shows like this, visit our website at cosmicpotato.com.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
Welcome to Cosmic Potato, the Super Fan Talk Podcast.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
We've got you covered with everything from Marvel to Star Wars.
I'm glad you asked that because I wanted to take this time to explain my evil plan.
Classic films, trivia games, and beyond.
Go to the coast, get together, have a few laughs.
Now, on with the show.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Cosmic Potato, the Super Fan Talk Podcast. My name is Sean Ray, and sometimes I let a lit match burn down to my fingers just so I can feel something, anything. And sitting across the virtual table from me is a guy who has a black belt in haiku kung fu, Mr. John Irons. How are you?
I want to try to do one spontaneously. I had a joke ready, but let me see if I can fit it in haiku form. Okay. Yes, my hands are wet, but because I just washed them, there's no other reason.
That's good.
Well done.
Thanks.
And joining us as usual to round out this round table is Rick. How are you, sir?
A little bit less round these days, so just doing well, fine.
Good for you.
New Year's resolution. And Virginia, how's it going?
Good. How's everyone tonight?
Doing pretty well. So we've kind of been on hiatus for the last couple of months. So we got a lot of catching up to do. A lot of things came out over the holidays that we want to chat a little bit about. I've got four or five things on my list. I wouldn't be surprised if we only get to a couple of them. But how was everybody's holiday? Did you guys have a pretty good Christmas, New Year's?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all right.
It's sure. All right.
This was a weird holiday. Usually with Christmas, I either am ebullient or morose. And sorry, I fell into a thesaurus this afternoon. And this Christmas was neither. It was a very neutral, which actually I didn't mind. My in-laws came into town, which is a good thing. I won the lottery when it came to in-laws. My wife's family is great. And so the kids got to spend time with their grandparents, and we got to spend time shutting the damn dog up and barking out every time my father-in-law stood up. Our dog is a bear of little brain, but it was cool.
We kept things pretty small. We just kind of stayed in, you know. I've been working a lot lately, so it was nice to just have a few days off. So, I did have one. This is a way off topic question. I kind of thought of this today, and this is just like a random question, and it has to do with politics, but not the politics that you think that I'm going to talk about.
So the politics of dancing?
No. Okay, so my daughter yesterday played in the governor's inauguration.
Okay.
Why do politicians have an inauguration if they've already been in office? They've already been inaugurated. You know what I'm saying?
It's a good point.
Why do all the pomp and circumstance and spend all this money for banquets and parties and parades and things if you've already been in office for several years?
Well, it's kind of like when you're on your second marriage, but you have a shower anyway.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, but
that'd be if you're marrying the same person.
I'm gonna side with Sean on this, because then you shouldn't call it an inauguration. Inauguration literally means like welcome to the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you should call it a
reaffirmation
party.
Yeah, reaffirmation would be
Reoccupation. Depending on the politician, I suppose.
We're renewing our vows.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is like so weird because earlier today I saw one of those memes going around that was like, without saying how old you are, you know, say something that would tell people your age or whatever. And so I thought, you know, 2 weeks after Reagan was inaugurated the first time, but then I'm like, no, that wouldn't make sense because you're only inaugurated. Like, this is a thought I had literally like an hour ago. Wow, y'all are reading my mind from the future. Anyway.
Well, I think about it every time a president has a second term and then they have a bigger inauguration. But then since it happened yesterday, I thought I'd bring it up on the show and we could ponder about it.
I think you know, again, I don't want to get political, but from a purely linguistic standpoint, instead of impeachment, they should just call it inauguration.
And they can have a big party and let them make a speech and everything. You're being inaugurated.
Yeah.
So now you've got me curious, Virginia. I would like to hear what everybody would say that they are what old. Like for instance, I am high beam switch on the floor old.
Wow.
Impressive. I am Star Wars old.
let me think. Something distinctive. Slide the thing across the box to change the cable channel old.
And Virginia, you said Reagan's second inauguration.
No, first.
Oh, first. Yeah, okay.
Because there's only one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just had this whole conversation.
That's right. I wasn't listening. Okay, so.
It's like we never left.
Right. Netflix. Okay, so the listeners know I moved in the last couple of months, and I'm now living in an apartment, whereas I was living in a house before. And when I was in a house, when I recorded, I was in a den. I was all by myself. When I'm in the apartment, I'm at the kitchen table, and my wife is the peanut gallery, and she's just going to make comments because she can't watch TV because I'm recording. So she's playing Candy Crush and making comments.
So. I'm playing Candy Crush.
Yay, Sherry.
Oh, wait. Should I not admit that I'm playing Candy Crush right now?
Oh, you're playing Candy Crush too?
Totally am. Yes.
Okay.
Multitasking.
So Netflix, and this is going to be kind of a review and a little bit of news at the same time, but Netflix released this movie Bandersnatch about a month ago. And they made it as a special episode of Black Mirror, and it's a film set in the 80s, and it's about a guy that's creating this computer game in a choose-your-own-adventure format, and the movie itself is a choose-your-own-adventure story. So every few minutes in the film, they'll ask you to make a decision, and it starts out small. You might have to choose what the character's going to eat for breakfast, and later on in the film, you have to choose whether or not you want to kill your father. You know. So did you guys watch this movie?
I did.
Okay. Yes.
Watch/play. Yes.
Yeah. 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 How many times did you go through it?
Maybe. I only went through once, but it kind of the way it did it, I ended up seeing two endings anyway, because when I got through one ending, it jumped back to another, like it was definitely an ending. And there was a box popped up that said, you know, escape to credits or jump to credits or whatever. Excuse me. But then all of a sudden I was like back at one of the previous Nexus points. Mm-hmm. And so went off in another direction. I'm honestly not sure if I saw two or three endings.
I think I saw maybe four endings because I did the same thing. I didn't go all the way through the whole movie more than once. I watched the whole movie once and then I let it kick me back to another decision like three or four times so I could kind of, go different ways, but I've been planning to go back and watch the whole thing from the beginning and just make opposite choices and stuff. But it was kind of fun. The movie itself, it wouldn't be that great if it weren't a game, you know. And it didn't really feel like an episode of Black Mirror. I don't know why Black Mirror put their name on it, but Virginia, what do you think of it?
I think we saw three endings. And I thought, yeah, without the choosing, making the choices, the whole storyline and everything was pretty silly. Yeah. But like, what happens if you choose, you know, kick his ass versus kick him in the balls? Like, you know, these are important choices that need to be made. So it was silly, but like, I enjoyed, you know, going through the process.
What about you, John?
Yeah, I went through many times. My wife and I basically kind of camped out on the couch for several hours. And, okay, well, what if we do this? What if we do this? What if we do that? I enjoyed it very much. Not that I, like, every ending was a winner or every plot line was a winner. But, you know, I love it when people, like, push the boundaries of stuff. And I disagree with you, Sean. It felt very Black Mirror to me. Like, maybe depending on your ending. There were two endings. I think we basically saw every ending that you could get, except for one. And we got close to it. And I don't think there is a quote-unquote happy ending, which is very Black Mirror. But there are a couple that would be like the ending of an episode that I would expect Black Mirror to do. And if we're going to talk spoilers at some point, then I'll go into detail. But if not, then I won't. But
yeah, I wasn't going to do major spoilers. I know there's one ending that starts where you make the choice when he's watching TV, and no, he's on the computer, and he says something like, "Who is this?" or whatever. And one of the choices is to tell him that you're Netflix.
Oh yeah,
I did that one.
Did you do that one? Yeah,
yeah.
And it takes it in a weird direction that's almost kind of comical, you know.
It's comical.
Yeah. But, like y'all said, if this was just a straight through episode of anything, it wouldn't have been that interesting. But unfortunately, and you know, and this is why I didn't go back and explore more plot lines, because even with the game, eventually it was like, and I'll finish the sentence here, I promise. John, since you've been through most of them, it's, you know, it started getting really meta, and I liked that.
Yes.
But then it kind of dropped it. And didn't it, it? There wasn't the payoff I was hoping for that.
I would say the payoff. Well, I don't know what payoff you were hoping for, but the meta continues. The meta, like, there's an ending that is uber meta.
Okay, because like the Netflix one, if you choose Netflix, and then he starts going, you know, what the fuck is Netflix, and
yeah.
And then he ends up going to see his therapist, and you had your option of yeah or yeah.
You'll solve that one.
And then it just ends very silly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the Monty Python endings.
Yeah.
So the news story is that ChooseCo, which is the company that published all those Choose Your Own Adventure books. And I guess they still do. I always think of that as being like an 80s thing, but I guess they still make those books. They're suing Netflix because they claim that they have a federal trademark over the phrase Choose Your Own Adventure. And since Netflix used that term, there's a scene in the movie where he says, "I'm making this game. It's like a Choose Your Own Adventure book." That's where the copyright infringement comes in, that they own that phrase. And then they claim that because of the dark and the violent nature of the film, that it's tarnished their brand.
Or reignited it.
Yeah. Nobody's thought about it since like the 80s. So. Yeah.
Well, there's another aspect of this that you're kind of leaving out, is that the ChooseCo contacted Netflix, or Netflix contacted ChooseCo and said, we're going to use this. And Chusco said, well, all right, write a check. And then Netflix just never got back to them and went ahead and started using it. So there's a little more to it than just, hey, we just reinvigorated your brand. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, you know,
no, I mean,
Netflix has been doing, this is not the first choose your own adventure movie that Netflix has made. They've got a bunch of kids movies that do the same thing.
This right. But, the they, first but one I,
that's like mainstream for adults kind of thing.
Well, I don't think they use the phrase choose your own adventure. They call it an interactive movie. Which I don't think, so yeah, I will finish a sentence too at some point. yeah, I agree with you, Rick, that they should just, Netflix should just pay and that should be that.
Yeah.
And I presume Netflix won't have a problem doing that since they use the phrase. It'd be different if
they're asking $25 million, though. That's an awful lot for.
Well, I mean, but if that's what. Well, I don't know.
Well, my thing is, it seems weird that you can own. I mean, I know you can brand, you can have a brand, you've got your name and stuff, but to own a phrase, like if I went to the copyright office and said, I want to trademark the phrase, turn on the lights. So then anytime somebody in a movie says, turn on the lights, I can get paid for it.
well, it's more complicated than that.
Yeah. It's not a common phrase that's like, turn. I mean, it's what's a good example? Flavor crystals. It's kind of a made up thing that uses words that everybody knows. So if it's in a certain combination and I mean, you got to get approved to get it trademarked or copyrighted, but if once it's legal, it's legal.
Yeah. And choose your own adventure is, that is a distinctive phrase that describes a specific thing. It's like movies can copyright their taglines, because in space no one can hear you scream. You know, all of those words are standard words, but in that order they are referring to something specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
And with the $25 million, from what I understand in copyright infringement, well, in most lawsuits, is you ask for a ton more money than you ever expect to get, because usually judges and juries will start paring that down. And so you ask for like, 2 or 3,000% more than you want, and then hopefully you'll get somewhere close to what you were expecting.
It's like buying a house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hear that Netflix is being sued for $25 million one day, and then the next day, my Netflix subscription is going up $2. So
okay. you think you're paying the bill for Bandersnatch?
Yeah, there you go. I'm paying for Bandersnatch. Okay, so Aquaman is a movie that came out over the last couple months. It came out in December.
Loved it.
We've been waiting on it a while. The trailer started coming out back in the summer. Now we've got it. Jason Momoa is back as Arthur. What are you raising your hand for? Oh, my wife has.
I'm guessing she probably wanted to get your attention without interrupting the podcast. So. Good on you, Sean. Wait.
I'm not going to spoil it. She's saying don't spoil it because she hasn't seen it yet, is what she's saying. I'm not going to spoil it. So Jason Momoa is back as Arthur, and we know that eventually he's going to become the king of Atlantis.
That's kind of hard to spoil this one.
Yeah. We've seen him before in Justice League, but this is his true origin story. So I'm going to forego the plot details and everything, because everybody knows what the movie is about. And I don't want to spoil anything for folks that haven't seen it yet. So we'll just kind of tell what we thought. And Rick, I'll go ahead and start with you. You said you loved it.
Yeah, a lot of people get surprised when I like a comic book movie. and granted, I have no dog in this race. There was no chance of not seeing Aquaman. I love Jason Momoa so much. If I batted for the other team, I would have posters of him all over my room. I've never found Aquaman to be particularly offensive. He's been the butt of jokes forever, but I thought it looked interesting. The trailers looked interesting. And given what we've gotten from DC, with the exception of Wonder Woman, the bar is really, really low. So, it seemed like a good afternoon's entertainment. And that's exactly what it was. I liked the pacing. The effects, for the most part, were great. I've kind of come to the conclusion that the CG use in superhero movies is, it's a really, really good cartoon. Mm-hmm. There were, like, with the early Spider-Man movies, there were times I was like, why did you use CG for that move? A person could do that. Now I'm just kind of unclenching and going, all right, I'm just along for the ride. It was silly. It was by the numbers. There wasn't a surprise in the film. You weren't at all shocked when so-and-so showed up or when he did this or when he beat that or... it was really dark at the beginning, which kind of took me by surprise.
You mean visually dark or theme?
Theme, like the origin of Black Manta. But it also did the one thing that I love for superhero movies to do, which is start in the middle of the story and then give us flashbacks for the origin. It didn't start with Aquaman as a baby. Well, it sort of did, but but it didn't dwell, we didn't spend the first 2/3 of the movie watching him grow up and be angsty and figuring out his powers and stuff. It was, we saw him born and then we saw him beating up a bar. I really enjoyed the film. I had a great time. It was not one of those movies where afterwards I came out and the more I thought about it, the more I disliked it. I didn't really spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. Here's what I said on Facebook. I didn't mind the sharks growling. That's how much I enjoyed this movie.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I did think about it afterwards, and I did dislike it more the more I thought about it. I'm not going to say that I didn't like the movie, because I did enjoy the movie. I thought that it was entertaining. It had some great special effects. It had some great special effects. It also had some crappy special effects. I mean, the de-aging at the beginning, that guy did not look real. Now Nicole Kidman, you don't really have to de-age her. She looks the same as she did in Batman Forever. but that guy just it was kind of uncanny valley to me. But I like Jason Momoa's performance. I thought he was good. But I thought that he was the only one giving a good performance in the movie. I thought everybody else was just... And they had some big actors. Willem Dafoe, dude from Rocky IV, what's his name? Ivan Drago?
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren.
Now he's just so gorgeous you didn't pay attention to
him. But they just seemed like it was almost like they were phoning it in or whatever. He was in a comedy. And they were in a Shakespearean play. They were in a much more serious movie than he was in. It's almost
did like that work used, though. That could work if you do it right.
If you do it right, but they take the template. They use Thor: The Dark World as a template when they should have used Ragnarok as a template, and made the whole thing just really campy and far out. And I think that would have worked more. And I also saw no point for Black Manta to even be in this movie. Because they introduced him like he was going to be the villain. This is a small spoiler. Like he was going to be the big villain, and then he turned out to just be an obstacle. So I think that they should have saved him. I'm sure he'll show up in the sequel. I think they just should have saved the entire character for the sequel. But
did you stay for the after credit scene?
No, because DC doesn't usually do after credit scenes. So I just assumed that they didn't have one.
Black Manta will be in the sequel.
Yeah, well, yeah, I figured he would.
Sean, you lose a nerd point for not staying for the after credit scene. You never leave.
I stayed for credits in Batman v Superman. There wasn't one. I stayed for the after credit scene in Justice League, and the usher that was standing there waiting to clean the theater said, "I'm just going to let you guys know there's not a scene at the end of this movie if that's what you're waiting for." And everybody got up and left. So
What I did?
Should have asked your usher.
I turned to my wife and I said, my wife asked me, is there an after credit scene? And I said, hang on, I'll check. Hey, internet, is there an after credit scene in Aquaman? Yes. Okay, honey, we're going to wait.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I didn't even think about that. Virginia, you haven't seen it, right?
I have not. Mm-hmm. I was struck down with the plague between Thanksgiving and Christmas, so I haven't seen a whole lot of anything recently.
Okay. John, what'd you think?
I didn't see it.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet? Okay. Oh. Well, that was a good review.
Good so job, guys.
That's what there's other stuff that's come out. So that's our Aquaman review. So Rick really liked it, and I kind of liked it when I watched it, and not so much afterward. But
this is clearly a new year because Sean and Rick have switched bodies.
Well, when Rick first posted on Facebook that he liked it, my first thought was, he liked that movie that much and hated Ant-Man that much? Really?
Yep. I still hate Ant-Man.
Okay. Virginia, did you watch Bird Box?
I did.
Okay, well, let's talk about that since that's something that you've seen. Rick and John, have you watched it?
Nope, and not gonna.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Bird Box is this movie that just kind of showed up because Netflix didn't really do a lot of marketing for it. And I think I saw one commercial for it about 2 weeks before it came out. And it's got Sandra Bullock. It's got John Malkovich. It's got B.D. Wong and a couple other people. And it's good. I'm not going to say it's great because it's really hit or miss with everybody that I've talked to. Some people really, really liked it. Some people didn't like it at all. I haven't talked to a lot of people that were just in between with it, you know. Sandra Bullock plays this lady that's pregnant, and she gets caught off guard because there's some kind of monster that's attacking like the whole world all at the same time, and it's like reaching her town. And the thing is, if you look at these creatures, something causes you to lose your mind and you're instantly compelled to kill yourself. So she holds up in a house with some other survivors, like I said, B.D. Wong, John Malkovich, Lil Rel Howery is there. And it's also interspersed with scenes that take place 5 years later showing Sandra Bullock. And this is where all the memes on Facebook come from, is she's got these two children. She's in a boat going down a river and they're all wearing blindfolds, and she's threatening that if you take your blindfold off, I will hurt you, you know, that kind of stuff. So, and there's also people that have looked at the creatures and went crazy, but they were immune to the suicide part. And now they're going around attacking people and forcing them to look at the creatures and all that kind of stuff. But I really liked this movie. I thought that it was, it's not really a horror movie. It's more of a thriller, I guess. A really suspenseful thriller. I thought Sandra Bullock did a good job. Of course, I mean, she usually does. But what did you guys think? Virginia, what did you think?
I liked it. I love Sandra Bullock. It was funny because I was watching it with Shane, and he had already seen it when he had visited his family. And about halfway through the movie, wait, are we doing spoilers? No.
Well, I mean, mild spoilers.
Okay, so about halfway through the movie, I was like, but what about XYZ? Like, this should be a bigger factor here. And then at the very end, it's like, here's XYZ. And I'm like, okay, I appreciate you pointing that out to us now, but I had questions about it 45 minutes ago. You know what I'm saying? So overall, I liked it. I just had a few like nitpicky things that I realize is just a me thing.
Are you talking about the birds?
Hey!
Well, I mean, no. Come on. I mean, the name she's of the movie not, is Bird Box.
I'm not talking
she's
about
not
the birds.
Talking about the birds.
Okay. I was just going to say the name of the movie is Bird Box, so that's not a spoiler. It's called Bird Box because birds kind of go nuts whenever the creatures are around, so Sandra Bullock has a box in her boat that's got some birds in it so that she can use them to know when the creatures are close. But go ahead and finish, Virginia. I'm sorry.
No, that was about it. I liked how I was trying to figure out, you know, suddenly in the future she has two kids. Neither one of them calls her mom. She doesn't call them by their names. Where did this other kid come from? Unless she was pregnant with, like, I was trying to figure out the whole kid situation the whole time. So that was very interesting, I thought.
Yeah.
That's all.
John, what about you?
I liked it. It didn't occur to me to try to figure out the kid situation. I mean, I figured because it takes place, like the way it's shot, it flashes back and forth between the beginning of this apocalypse incident, whatever, attack, and 5 years later. And 5 years later, yeah, she's got two kids. And at the beginning, she's pregnant. So I figured they would explain the other kid at some point. I didn't try to figure it out. I had a similar kind of reaction to you as you, Virginia. I was like, okay, well, what about this? But I think it just so happened that the things that occurred to me, what about this, they actually answered earlier in the film.
I see.
So, like, yeah, there were a couple of things. Okay, well, can't they do this? And then they tried that. Okay, well, I guess they can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, can they do that? And they just, oh, yeah, okay, I guess that doesn't work either. Or that does work, or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I was kind of figuring things out as the characters were figuring things out. And it's not, you know, it's not groundbreaking. You know, you got your standard kind of stock characters. You know, you got a jerk, and you got somebody who's super weepy, and you got somebody who's super panicky, and you know,
yeah,
all usual cast of characters. It's fine. It's an entertaining enough film. I have not seen A Quiet Place, so I can't make that comparison. Although, as I was watching it, I was thinking, okay, I'm thinking this is probably like A Quiet Place. So if either of you have seen both, what's your take on that?
Yeah, the setup is a lot like A Quiet. I mean, the overall idea is a lot like A Quiet Place, because in A Quiet Place you've got creatures that are hunting people based on sound, and in this movie you can't look at the creatures, so you know it's sight versus sound. But they're really two different movies, because there's a lot more people in Bird Box than was in A Quiet Place. A Quiet Place is just about this one family, and there's just a couple of other characters in the film.
Does it show the attack, or does The Quiet Place just take place after?
It takes place after, but there's they show some news footage and some newspaper clippings and stuff like that to let you know that it's something that's been going on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually see the beginning of it. I think I heard that the sequel is supposed to be more of a prequel and go back and show the beginnings of it and stuff like that. But yeah, that's, I mean, just like I said, the overall idea, I think, is similar. But they're really two different movies. A Quiet Place is also, for the most part, a very quiet movie. I mean,
there's, well, yeah, there's I would imagine
very large sections of that movie where you're going to hear a lot of popcorn crunching if you're watching it in the theater, because there's no sound coming from the movie. But Bird Box, you know, wasn't really like that. Have you guys seen that people doing this Bird Box challenge online?
I've
oh
seen
my God!
So just, in the movie, there's a scene in the movie, and this might be a mild spoiler, but it's in the middle, so it's not the ending or anything. There's a scene where they need to go to the grocery store and get some supplies, and obviously they can't go out looking around, because if they see the creature, then they're going to die. You know, so they go into the garage and they paint all the windows of the car.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then they back out and they use the car's, you know, impact detection system around the car to determine when they're getting close to something so that they can kind of drive around things. Totally impossible. You do not do that. You cannot do that. And they managed to get all the way to the grocery store and actually park right by the front door.
That might have been the most unbelievable part of the whole movie.
Yeah. But so people have been supposedly trying to do this. They've been covering their windows and driving without being able to see. And of course, someone got hit. I think they got hurt, but I don't think they got killed or anything like that. But
It was a teen in Utah. You posted this, and I had to look it up to make sure it was real. It sounded like an Onion story, but it's not. She didn't cover the car's windows. She was just driving, and they got her, she and her companion. She was 17. He was 16. She pulled her hat down over her eyes and drifted over into oncoming traffic. Looks like they weren't going very fast.
She wasn't even doing it right, because they were using the computer on the dashboard that shows when you're about to hit something, you know, the impact detection system. So if she was covering her eyes, she wasn't even doing it right.
You live with a teenager. You know they're not the smartest creatures on earth.
Wow.
the funniest thing about the article was that at the time of the article's posting, which was, I read it yesterday, they weren't saying whether or what charges were going to be brought. And I'm like, seriously, you have to consider this. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, if people want to stupid themselves to death, I'm all for it. Just don't endanger somebody else doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the main thing. Don't try this at home. For one thing, it's a movie. You can do things in movies that you can't do in real life. I mean, that's part of fiction. Okay. Another movie that came out over the last couple months is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. This one I was kind of nervous about, because it's another story involving parallel universes, which we've seen to be getting a lot of lately, especially from DC. And it seemed like yet another way for Sony to cash in on Marvel's success. But the trailer looked interesting. The animation style looked really cool. So I went to see it. I actually saw it with John when he was in Birmingham last month. And John, we've seen two movies together in the last 3 years. We saw this one and X-Men Apocalypse. Which one was better?
Whatever. We'll not dignify that with a response.
So I love this movie. I don't want to go out on the limb and like a lot of people have online, saying that it's the best Spider-Man movie ever, because I still think Homecoming is the best Spider-Man movie for me. But it is really, really good. It had a lot of action. It had a good story. It was visually appealing. The characters were really well developed. What do you guys think? Virginia, you haven't seen it, right?
Correct. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
So what did you think of it? I enjoyed it. It was a lot better than I expected. Because, again, you know, I'm not a comic book person. I like Spider-Man, but I don't read Spider-Man comics, and I haven't really watched the Spider-Man cartoons. So it was, you know, I saw it because my daughter wanted to see it. And I thought it could have gotten to the story a little sooner. I thought there was just maybe, you know, 5 or 10 minutes more of setting up than it really needed. But once it got, you know, once it kicked off, it was a nonstop thrill ride, and I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. John, you saw it twice.
I did see it twice. I didn't like it.
What?
No, I'm kidding. Obviously, I saw it twice.
I saw it twice. I could hate it even more the second.
There's one thing I love doing is paying money for crap. No, I thought it was great. It was, you know, I guess most superhero films, I'm kind of where Ricky is on Aquaman. It's like, you know, you don't really, I just want something fun. Just be fun.
Yeah.
Or colorful would be nice, you know. Stick a message in there if you want. Give me decent acting. Give me a plot. So most comic book movies, I don't, you know, I'm not the guy who's going to rage against the machine because they changed so-and-so's costume. I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just as long as it makes sense, it's fine. So like, this was, like, legit a good movie. This was, like, a really good movie. And it's a little disheartening that Aquaman and Venom made so much more money. But I think it's just a matter of there are people, I mean, obviously, you know, the fans are going to see it. The fans are going to see those movies. But there are people who can be convinced into going to see Venom as an action movie, maybe. But yeah, I mean, it was really good. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything. And I'm sure the people who are listening to this podcast have either already seen it or have seen, you know, a trailer or commercial enough that would reveal anything that I would say about it. So I heartily endorse this film.
I am stunned that Venom made more money than it.
Venom is a thing? Well, I don't want to. Let me see.
Let's go to Box Office Mojo, because are we going to talk about Venom? Can I shit on Venom? I mean, no.
I mean, you can talk about it. We talked about it a little bit a while back, but I think I was the only one on the panel that had seen it at that point. But
oh God, what a piece of crap that movie
was. I think that my review was that I cannot say that it's a good movie, but it wasn't a completely terrible movie. I mean, I did have fun watching it, but
it is now on demand, and I'm going based on your review and other reviews who basically said the same thing. Like, it's, you know, it's fun enough to watch, I guess, but there are other ways to spend your time. So that's why I haven't. If it comes on HBO, I'll probably watch it. But aside from that, I'm not going to pay extra for it.
All right. Venom's lifetime gross is $213,480,401. All right. Why am I not getting anything for Spider-Man on Box Office Mojo? Okay. Spider-Man box office gross. Domestic $334,201,140. So it's, yeah, Spider-Man is oh wait, that's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Homecoming. Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse. Here we go. Oh shoot. $149,635,115. Wow. The world has no taste, but then we knew that.
Yeah. Well, I think there are a lot of people who just innately, well, I don't want to see a cartoon. Yeah. I don't want to see a kids movie. And it's PG, and it's a good PG. That's the other thing. I could actually see this with my kids, and there's nobody drops the F-bomb, nobody drops an S-bomb, but it's still, like, as an adult, it's still a good film.
Yeah, there is some violence. There are some people that die, but there's no
blood. I was getting to that. yes, there are a couple of deaths, and, like, violent deaths. And, you know, there's punching and kicking and that kind of thing. But yeah, the violence brings an emotional weight to it. There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And if you're a Spider-Man fan, you know, like, Uncle Ben gets killed. So it's the level of Uncle Ben getting killed.
Yeah. I love the relationship between Miles and his uncle, as twisted as it was.
Yeah.
And I loved all of the family dynamics with Morales. I really like him. I really like him a lot as Spider-Man.
It was, yeah.
I had a couple of things that I noticed, you know, questions that came up when I was watching it. But so Chris Pine voiced Spider-Man in the first part of the film, the prime Spider-Man, I guess. Jake Johnson plays an older and slightly out of shape Spider-Man from another universe a little later on in the movie. But there's something that struck me. So at the beginning, they made this joke where they kind of insinuated that the Chris Pine Spider-Man is the Spider-Man that we know from the original Sam Raimi movies, you know. And they kind of recreated a couple of those scenes, and they recreated the little dance scene from Spider-Man 3. But when
this happened,
yeah, this happened. But when I saw that, I was like, yeah, but when he did that scene, he wasn't wearing that costume. He was just wearing regular clothes. Why did, you know? So that's the nitpick kind of stuff that I.
It was a reference to.
Yeah.
It was a Easter egg. It wasn't. Yeah.
Another thing that really did, I really did have a question about this, and I meant to ask you about it, John, when the movie was over, and I forgot about it. But I thought Lily Tomlin as Aunt May was great. I think she did a great job.
That's Lily Tomlin. She can't not do a great job.
And this is a little bit of a mild spoiler, but we meet the daughter of Doc Ock in this movie. And when they meet her, she says, "My friends call me Liv. My enemies call me Doc Ock." Attacks the house. Aunt May said, "Oh, great. It's Liv." You know?
Yes.
And I was like, so is there some history? Were they friends? Or so are we going to find out that Aunt May and Liv were like partners or something like that at one point? So I think that that would be an interesting concept for a sequel or something like that.
Was that a question?
I was just wondering if you guys noticed that.
I definitely noticed that, and I thought it was really cool. And I was, yes. And I didn't actually think that it was his daughter. I just thought that this was this world's version of Doc Ock.
Well, I say that because I listened to a podcast with some guys that are really into comic books. And they were talking about this movie, and they said that in the comic book, Doc Ock has a daughter named Liv who becomes Doc Ock later on. So they assume that it's supposed to be her. So
I just chalked it up to, I don't know squat about comics, and they're in an alternate universe anyway, so anything goes.
Yeah. But this is one that you definitely want to stick around for the after credits scene. That
yes.
Nicolas Cage as Spider-Man Noir, I thought he was great. Spider-Ham was weird but funny. I wanted to tell you guys something that happened recently. So Jared, that plays Captain Game Show a lot, he posted on Facebook that Into the Spider-Verse has created a way that kind of out of shape dads can dress up for Halloween now or whatever. And I read that to my wife, and she said, "Oh, because of Spider-Ham?" Wow. I said, "No, but that's a good one." Kingpin looked really weird in that movie. He did.
He was the most stylized, and it was almost
it's like his out head of was place. In his chest. Yeah.
Yeah. No, nobody else was as stylized as him. If everybody else kind of had that same kind of, like the Incredibles, everyone stylized. Like real people would not look like that. But because everyone looks like that, it looks normal. Yeah. But he was the only one who looked weird.
Yeah.
That weird anyway.
Yeah, he was way bigger than he probably should have been. But I guess they really wanted to differentiate that Kingpin from the way he appears in Daredevil, because people would be like kind of comparing that or whatever. But
well, they needed to justify how he could get in a physical fight with Spider-Man and not just lose.
Yeah.
If he's eight feet tall and 500 pounds.
Well, 10 feet wide.
He had superpower. Does Kingpin have superpowers? Because he was picking up cars and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's really, really strong. He's like, and again, I don't know the Miles Morales universe, but it would not surprise me. And I haven't really read even any universe in decades, so it would not surprise me if Kingpin had some physical enhancements that made him stronger than just a really strong guy.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Yeah. Much like Rick, I chalk a lot of stuff up to just my ignorance. And yeah, between me not knowing and, well, it's an alternate universe, you can really you can cover pretty much all your bases.
Yeah.
As far as stuff that doesn't make sense. Spider-Man's not blind. Well, this one is. Well, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all that I had. Do you guys have anything that you've been watching that you wanted to bring up?
We saw Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Rick, I want to hear you do another positive review, so go for it.
I enjoyed it. I had not seen Wreck-It Ralph. I don't know why. Just something about it didn't appeal to me, and so I,
despite my many recommendations.
I know. You know, it took me 45 years to watch The Godfather. So, you know, sometimes I'm a little slow on these things. I was, you know, it was like, oh, God, I got to watch this movie because I'm going to take Sharon to see the sequel. And all right, I'll watch it. And then I was like, OK, I'll watch it with Sharon. That might make it a little more bearable. And then at the end of the movie, I'm like, what the hell was wrong with me? That was brilliant. So then we went and saw Ralph Breaks the Internet. And while it's, you know, it is not going to be one of those, oh, wow, the sequel was better than the first. It was certainly almost as good as the first.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed it. Having just watched the first one the night before, it didn't feel any different as far as, you know, any of the characters or the voice actors suddenly, you know, forgetting what they did the first time or anything. I love Sarah Silverman. And so her as Vanellope was just so much fun. The only thing I would say negative about it, and I don't think this is really a big negative, is while I was watching Wreck-It Ralph, there were a few times when I was like, wow, this must have been really cool in the theater. Whereas watching Ralph Breaks the Internet, there was no time when I was like, oh, that's really neat. I'm glad I'm watching this on the 40-foot screen. But, you know, I think, you know, part of that, you know, probably just me being jaded.
John?
Wreck-It Ralph, I agree.
I want to ask you guys, since I haven't seen it yet. So the first one is all like video games, right? So the second one is not about video game culture?
Somewhat. It is about video game culture, but it's much more about internet. Okay. If the internet were a place, that old comic bit, if the internet were a place, you know, this thing would be this thing, and this thing would be like this thing, and this would be this as a person. And it is that. So that includes, but it's not limited to, video games.
Okay. And I think only Disney has deep enough pockets.
I'm gonna guess you're saying has deep enough pockets to license all of the characters and entities and representations,
yeah, exactly,
that they had running around.
That's exactly what I said. Yes, only you said it better.
Disney does have them some deep pockets.
Yeah. I mean, but you see that in the commercial, there's, you know, 8 mega empires that are just, you know, hanging out.
Yeah.
At the Disney site. The scene with the princesses was great. The musical number was great. And the first big chase scene I really liked. The ending was okay. It was good. It did not go where I thought it was going to go. But it made sense in the film, but it wasn't, you know, that's what it was. I would say compared to the first one was like, yeah, like it took you on a nice emotional journey. This one was kind of hard to watch. You're like, ooh, it's kind of cringy. but you're like, the behavior is cringy, and you're supposed to feel that it's cringy, so that when the person corrects their behavior, you're like, oh, thank God, because that was horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still not as it makes you feel a little funny inside. It's not always the best. But the musical number was great. Yeah, let me see if I see anything else. Final season of Voltron on Netflix wrapped up. Well done, Netflix. I'm sure if I could get, like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I'm just forgetting.
I just for giggles, I looked up Ralph Breaks the Internet on Box Office Mojo. We may not be seeing any more of these. It had a production budget of $175 million, and as of yesterday, as we're recording, it only has made $190 million. That's not considered successful by movie standards.
Yeah. Well.
Fair.
A lot of stuff hit theaters in December, and they were competing with each other. I mean, you had Spider-Verse, and you had Mary Poppins, and you had Aquaman, and all this stuff hitting all at the same time. So,
oh, wait a minute. Let me, damn it, Box Office Mojo. I don't understand the domestic versus worldwide grosses anymore. Why do they keep doing that? Worldwide, it's made $435 million. It's fine.
Yeah. We'll see another one. Virginia, you seen anything lately you wanted to bring up? I know you and Shane have been watching a lot of stuff for your podcast.
Yes. I've been enjoying Charmed. It recently came back from the break. And I think it's actually...
The new Charmed?
Yes, the new Charmed. And I think it's kind of gearing up to be better than... I mean, of course, the graphics and everything are better. But even, like, the relationship between the sisters and whatnot is, I think, better in this version. And then while I was recuperating from the plague, Scott Madison sent me a link of the Arrowverse shows to watch in order. Yeah. So I've been working my way through that. I think I'm in I'm towards the end of season three for Arrow, end of season one for The Flash. So, like, a lot of stuff is happening.
Wow,
right
that
now.
Is a tall order. You're going through all of the Arrowverse?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
All right. Scott has arranged a list so that you watch each show in the order that they, in the order that they air.
They air,
so
sure.
That when you get to the crossover episodes, you're not behind on anything, you know.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So I'm gonna pick up with Supergirl too. I think is coming up soon, and then speaking of Lily Tomlin. This isn't really nerd related, but I'm super excited that the new season of Grace and Frankie is coming out. This is coming out next week, this episode. So it comes out on Friday the 18th.
Oh, is it that soon? Okay, I didn't even realize it had been a year since the last. Hey, Sherry, the new season of Grace and Frankie comes out next week. She likes that show.
See, Sherry knows.
Yeah.
Yes. It's really great. It has Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, and I love it.
Martin Sheen and Sam Waterston. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you guys hear that, Buffy and Angel used to be on Netflix. They're not there anymore. And I heard that they're coming back to streaming, but they're going to be on Facebook.
Yeah, they are
that's
already
weird.
There.
Are they already
seen,
there? Okay.
I believe so. I haven't checked them there, but it's like I'm a... like whatever you call it, like I like what's that, Sarah Jessica Parker, Sarah Michelle Gellar page or whatever. So like she said that it's that they're there wherever the thing is.
Yeah,
I guess I don't like that much.
I heard that and I was like, I don't really think of Facebook as, I don't think of watching shows on Facebook. I mean, there's some short videos that I watch on like Facebook Watch, but I haven't thought of it being a platform for TV shows and movies and stuff. I guess they're trying to get into that. Everybody else is. So, to take a poll, are you guys planning on subscribing to the Disney service when it comes out? I guess
it really depends on
probably
depends on how much and what they've got.
Yeah. Well, if I can avoid it, I will, but I don't know that I'll be able to avoid it.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff.
That they were gonna do that, I was like, I'm not getting another streaming service. And then they come out and say, well, all the Marvel stuff is gonna be there. All the Star Wars stuff is gonna and look, we're gonna have a brand new Star Wars show. You're only gonna be able to see it here. So I'm like, yeah, I guess I probably will.
Right.
So
I mean if it's comparable to Netflix, you know, and Hulu, if it's somewhere around $8-$10 a month, probably, if there's enough stuff on it that Sharon would watch. But you know, I'm fine with not watching another new Star Wars cartoon or
they're gonna have a live action.
It's gonna live action The Mandalorian, let me know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boba Fett is probably my least favorite Star Wars character that came out of the original trilogy. But on Star Wars Rebels, Sabine is one of my favorite characters, so I don't dislike Mandalorians on the surface, but I'm not jazzed about a series about them. I don't care, so.
Yeah, I would say that the Star Wars stuff is probably what I'm least interested in. There are still several Star Wars series that I haven't seen. And not that I have anything against them or have really disliked any of them, it's just... You know, There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff.
I would be disappointed if Disney had their own streaming service and they didn't have Disney's entire back catalog on there. I don't know if there's licensing issues that would keep that from happening, but I would want to. I would want everything Disney ever made to be on there. You know.
As long as here's what would get me on, like unequivocally, like if they've got Gargoyles, the entire series, and if they pick Gargoyles up and like, I don't need a reboot, but because the original was great, but if they pick that storyline up, I'm there.
If they do, I saw an announcement that they were going to make a movie. A Gargoyles movie.
I've seen that for years. I don't know if that's real.
It's right up there with the last Starfighter sequel.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Well, I would like to recommend one thing that I watched. If y'all haven't seen it yet, Ellen DeGeneres did a stand-up show.
I've been meaning to watch it. Yeah.
First one in 15 years. It's called Relatable. If you liked her stand-up before she became huge, or you know, back when she was still doing stand-up, it's different. She doesn't do the long rambling stories like she used to. But I still really enjoyed it. I love Ellen. I think she's adorable. In that, I think there's like one person in the world who could talk to me before I've had my first cup of coffee in the morning, and that would be Ellen. she's just such a genuine person. And there are a couple of laugh out loud moments in the concert, but it's not, falling off your chair, Robin Williams can't breathe kind of funny. But it's, it's good, solid Ellen, and, there are worse ways to spend an hour. So check it out. If you like Ellen, I think you'll like this one.
Well, before I close the show out, I have a couple of announcements, two or three announcements of varying importance. First of all, the show schedule for this show, for Cosmic Potato, over the next few months is going to be a little bit different. We're not going to do a weekly show. I want to say that the show will be bi-weekly, but I'm not going to promise anything. things have just happened over the last couple of months that have severely limited the amount of time that I can devote to the show. So I'm just saying that the show will be here roughly every 2 weeks or so, sometimes more, sometimes less. Your best bet is just to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or Podcast Addict, or join our Facebook group, because I'll let you know whenever there's a new episode out right there. So there are new episodes of all the other shows on the network coming out all the time. So World War G, Review of Mania, Captain Game Show, Wait You've Never Seen. You know, just go to cosmicpotato.com, check those out. Second announcement is that the Discovery After Show is coming back. As this episode releases, the first episode of Season 2 should already be out. So if you like Star Trek Discovery, go check that out. It's the same group of hosts as this show, but we're just talking about each episode of Discovery as they come out week by week. And the third announcement, if you recall, I was doing a podcast called The Prime Direction. All of you guys have been on the show at some point. It was a long-form discussion every month with a fan of Star Trek, and we'd talk about their fandom throughout their life and what the show meant to them over the years and how they felt about where it's taken them over time. And I got super busy and just decided that I was going to put that show on hiatus for a while we were kind of building the after show and working on some things for this show and stuff like that. So the Prime Direction is going to soon be coming back to the Cosmic Potato Network with a small change. I won't be hosting it. I'm handing the hosting baton over to Scott Madison and let him take over for a while. I'm not sure how long it's going to be until that happens. So keep checking the site and the Facebook page, and I'll let you know when it actually happens. He's been lining up some guests and things like that. His first guest will be yours truly. So
that was going to be my question, actually.
Yeah. So I've been on the show like 22 times, and nobody's asked me anything.
So, not true.
I've asked you stuff.
I'm kidding.
I asked you stuff, too.
So, do you guys have any announcements for your various shows and whatnot that you wanted to bring up?
I'll go first. No.
Okay. That's fine. Just wanted to put it out there, give you a chance.
Well, I want to offer a general apology. I do try to put mine out weekly, and much like Sean, due to unforeseen circumstances, podcasting has slipped somewhat on the rungs of priority in my life. But I do like putting one out every week. So I hope to try to be weekly, but if I'm not, just stick with it. There'll be one coming soon.
All right. Okay. Well, that's it for this week. So I want to thank everybody for being here. Virginia, thank you very much for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And let everybody know where they can find you on the interwebs.
You can find the podcast that I do with my boyfriend Shane right here on the Cosmic Potato Network. It's called Wait, You've Never Seen, where we watch movies that one of us has seen, one of us hasn't, and it's a lot of fun. And our sequels month is coming up pretty soon. And I know you're all dying to know what Shane thinks about Grease 2, as I know you're all going to watch it.
Yeah.
You can find my Star Trek beginner's blog, which is woefully behind, at tocasuallygo.com.
Alrighty. And Rick, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And where can we find you?
Usually hiding behind a dumpster or maybe... No.
I thought I saw you the other day.
Right now, if for some reason you want to talk to me, check me out on Twitter. It's admarius. That's Skype. It's just ADM Marius. Admiral Marius as an abbreviation on Twitter. I'm trying to be more of a presence there. Or on Facebook, if you want. I'm not at one. Don't worry about Facebook. It's literally on Twitter.
All right. And John, as always?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this episode. Be sure to join us next time on Cosmic Potato, the Super Fan Talk podcast, when you might hear John say...
It occurs to me that if I cut a piece of paper with scissors, that ruins the paper. Or if I smash scissors with a rock, that ruins the scissors. But covering a rock with a piece of paper in no way diminishes the crushing power of a rock. That's some bullshit right there.
Be sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us by email at mail@cosmicpotato.com or send us a voicemail or text message to 205-642-8380. Help the show grow by giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thank you for joining us for Cosmic Potato, the Super Fan Talk podcast.
What is somebody like?
Somebody writing? Sounds like someone writing with a pencil.
I'm going to say someone's cleaning their fingernails with a piece of paper.
No.
No.
Now, my wife is walking around picking up baby toys right now, so.
No.
It's that tapping again.
It's that tapping again.
Tap. I don't hear it. Unless I'm doing something.
Hang on. Everybody stop talking for a second.
I know what that is. Who's snorting coke?
It sounds like someone tapping like a pencil or a credit card or something, or sweeping with a little broom or something.
Sweeping with a little broom.
Are you hearing it right now?
I love how your mind works, Rick.
I'm imagining like a baseball umpire now, just like behind Sean or something.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here looking at my computer screen. So.
Let's just do this the whole rest of the podcast. Just his name right. That's great.
That's the sound
for the fans.
Okay, whatever that ghost is doing, it's doing it harder now.
It's like a bird is trying to escape.
Somebody's sending us a message. I'm literally not doing anything.
It's the world's tiniest theater fan just giving uproarious applause.
Let me back away from the mic and make sure I'm not breathing on it too hard or something.
Well, it's not breathing. It's tap, 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 tap,
it's,
tap.
It's
tap,
definitely... You can't hear it, Sean?
No, I can't hear it.
Wow.
See, that makes me think it's you if you're the only one who can't
I'm
hear it.
I'm not tapping on anything.
I don't. I mean, I don't think, like, not necessarily
that's
you.
That's what
but
it
I mean,
sounds like.
From your end.
And John, as always...
Yeah, so I have a theory. You're at your kitchen table, right?
Yeah, I am.
Is there like a sugar dish or some like something that might be just slightly not flat to the table and is maybe wobbling on some level that we can't hear it with human ears, but the microphone can pick it up?
No, it's just. I mean, there's nothing.
Are you on? I'm not. Are you on a laptop?
I'm on a laptop. Yeah.
Is the maybe the screen just rocking a little bit?
We're determined to solve this mystery.
I'm telling you, whatever you're hearing is not coming from me. I'm not. There's nothing here. Let's see. You hear that? I'm actually hitting my microphone now. There's.
We're
gonna create a new podcast where everybody just tries to figure out what the weird noise on the mic is.
Snape. Severus Snape.
All right. Hey, let me ask you guys something. Do you hear this?
No.
Okay. No.
I was kind of wondering if Skype was picking up the mic on my headphones, if maybe that's what you were hearing, but that's not it. Because I was talking to my wife. I was at work the other day, and I was talking to my wife on the phone, and I was using my headphones, and she kept saying, "What is that noise? What is that noise?" I realized that the mic on my headphones was just kind of dangling against my shirt and just rubbing back and forth. I don't know. I don't hear anything.
You know, what's going to be funny is if you edit this and the mic didn't pick it up and we all just sound crazy.
I'm telling you, my mic's not picking up anything because all the sound, I'm looking at OBS and all the sounds.
I'm hearing it again. I hear it right now.
Huh?
I can hear it right now. It's happening right now.
I'm literally not moving. The governor.
No, I believe you. I'm just saying. It's like I need you to believe me like we believe you.
I believe that you guys hear something. I just don't I think it's something that's on the line or something. And I don't think it's coming from me. My wife says that it's because I made fun of the governor at the beginning of the show and now she's sabotaging our punk.
It's a secret government plot.
Tapping the line.
Darn it, K.I.V.
Literally.
God, what
game
the
show that night?
You know,
oh my God!
It's going to drive me insane. It's literally going to. It's like water torture.
Yes,
it is totally coming from you, Sean, because it only happens when you're talking.
And it is. I don't know. Like, it's gotten louder.
Wait, you're recording too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Then, if he can't hear it on his, then he might be able to hear it on yours.
Yeah. And I just proved it wasn't me because I turned off my mic and it was still going on.
Well, let me mute myself and see if you guys still hear it. Hold on, let me pull my Skype up here.
Yeah. There's the noise again. Did you just turn your mic back on?
I turned my mic back on.
Sean?
Maybe it
is. It's coming from you, dude. It's totally coming from you.
I don't know what it could be. I don't know what's going on in this room. I don't know if it's my mic.
Do you have a ceiling fan?
No, uh-uh.
Shit. Did you check the apartment for gremlins?
I mean, I don't. I'm not touching anything. I'm not. I don't know. But I know it's not. It's not going to be on my recording. I know because the stuff that's on my recording comes through my headphones, and I don't hear it. So
it sometimes it sounds like John said, like a credit card tapping. Sometimes it sounds like a pencil writing. Sometimes it sounds like chalk on a chalkboard.
And I was joking about a teeny tiny person applauding, but it does sound like that sometimes. It sounds like applause.
That was probably my at one point in the show, my wife came in here and turned the water on. That might have been what that was. But
well, no, it sounded like that like 2 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm not doing anything.
Right now, there it is.
Okay, when you said that, I had my elbow on the table, and I took my elbow off the table. And then you said, there it is.
I think what's happening is the table is shaking almost imperceptibly, but it's the vibration is coming up through your laptop into the microphone.
I think it's the actual vibration of the
laptop. All right, tell me if you can hear anything when I do this.
slow.
Yes.
Okay. I will try to find another surface to put my mic on next week. I might have to put my mic on the high chair over here in the corner.
Well, now I can rest. That would have kept me up all night. Okay.